Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo! It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Your boys in Clearwater edition. I finally made it, Fritzy. I finally made it to Clearwater. All these people are like, oh, I got to get to Paris before I die. I got to get to London. I got to see the pyramids before I die. Not me, buddy. Clearwater, Florida. I needed to get here before I die. And thank God I made it, buddy. How you doing, pal?
I really hope you just woke up the entire hotel.
Like, that's what I was going for.
It was pretty aggressive, yo, given that it's 11 a.m. down there.
Yes, it is.
You are staying in a hotel with other patrons, I would assume.
Outside there.
Oh, you get a little podium.
Yeah. Oh, buddy.
You get to see the ocean. I mean, listen, I got to say, I'm living totally vicariously through you. Like, I know you are. I'm not always like a big check-in on how people are doing guy. Yeah. I've texted James like three times. He's been in Clearwater for like 9 hours, and I just keep saying, "How's Clearwater?"
He texted me like yesterday morning. Was like, "How's Clearwater?" I'm like, "Dude, the flight doesn't leave for like 4 hours. Like, you've been all over
so
it."
So jealous. I'm so jealous. But
which is hilarious because you were here what? Like literally like 10 days ago. You were here. It's like, oh, I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous.
Well,
10 days ago.
One day, I'm just going to take off the entire month and just live down there.
You know? We both will. One day, we are going to convince our boss, Rod Lakin, one day down the road. We're laying the groundwork now. Hey, you know, High Hopes, good pod. We bring it all down the road. We're going to be like, Rod, listen, you know what it's time for. High Hopes month.
Yeah.
Spring training. Like, send us to Clearwater for a month. Let us cover everything. Let us be there. It's got to happen. It has to. We have a new life goal. Now that I've made it to Clearwater, Jack, my next goal is to make it here for a much longer period of time with you.
Yeah, and get, you know, fans of Philly involved, I'm sure. We're starting to figure this whole thing out.
Moneymaker. See, look at you. Yeah. See, that's why you're the best in the business, right?
Just
there.
Always thinking. So obviously I'm very jealous, but also I'm very happy that for the first time in your 55 years of life, you are getting close to retirement age. I mean, that is
it's a
retirement community down there. So I'm glad that you're seeing other elder people. But listen, you get to see Baker Ballpark completely filled. You get to see some spring training baseball. Unfortunately, the U.S. team is too good, so none of the players are back yet. I know.
I was wondering about that. I was wondering, do you think if Trey Turner knew that I was going to be here and that if he had not come through in that game, he could have met me, that maybe he wouldn't have, tried so hard?
I think that's a fair way to look about it, a fair way to go about it. But at the same time, the nice part for you is that there's so many storylines when it comes to, like, it's like Turner's awesome. Schwarber's awesome. JT is awesome. But like, even listening to Bohm today, it was like, that's one of our guys. Like, Bomer is one of our guys. So,
well, real quick on Bohm before you move on, Jack, because you are the one person, and I guess the listeners, but you were the one person who could really feel this when he came in and he did the interview and he was really good. Like, he did a great job with Joe and John. Like, the whole time I'm thinking, I'm like, bro, you were horrible when you were almost in the minors. When we had Alec Bohm on the pod, it was like he had never spoken before in his life. And now he's cool, calm, collected. You know what else I noticed too? He doesn't look as young anymore. Like, the baby fat's kind of gone. Like, he's even getting a little chisel in the face.
Well,
handsome fella, Jack.
He said with you guys today, he's like, I kind of just got stronger because I'm getting older.
Yeah, he's like, I'm growing into my body, essentially, was what he was implying, you know?
Meanwhile, I feel like it's going the opposite for me. You know, I feel like it's all taking a big old downturn. You know?
Yeah.
Like, now, if I have a couple beers, like now it's just like I want to stop because I don't want to get too full.
Mm-hmm. They, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's all 22.
I think about, well, am I going to be able to, am I going to be able to wake up tomorrow?
Exactly.
After 2 years?
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, like he's filling out and so I don't totally agree with what he said about like,
Trying to stuff.
Yeah. I don't really buy it. You know, I think there is a more conscious effort to lift the ball a little bit. But at the same time, like what he said wasn't totally wrong either, which is like, I'm just a hitter. And, you know, if it goes over the fence, it goes over the fence. But in just seeing how he's done so far in spring training and seeing the ball kind of just jumping off the bat, they have like a really good mix there with him. You know, he should be 280 to 290 with like 25 homers. And that's like, I think a realistic expectation, not only just this year, but I think, you know, going forward as well.
Yeah, when you look at the lineup, like that's the exact kind of guy they need. You know, we've got, especially once Harper gets back. Once Harper gets back, like you got some pop, man. You got Harper, you got Schwarber, you got Reese, you got guys who can get you a big home run in a big spot. You got some speed at the top of the lineup now with Turner and all that. But like a guy who can handle the bat and come in and, you know, poke the ball to right field if you need it. The guy who can come in and say, all right, we really need you to hit a fly ball right now. Like that stuff matters. Being able to control the bat, come through in big situations, especially if we're going to play October baseball again, which we all plan on doing. Like, you know, those guys matter. That matters. You know, even the ability to hit a ground ball to the right side instead of the left side, like whatever that is, like people who can handle the bat matter. And we got one in Trey Turner coming too, which is thrilling, obviously, and he'll just beat it out to either side anyway. But seriously, I do think that is something like, not only is it thrilling, you know, after watching his progression to see the type of hitter that we always thought Bohm could be, you know, turning into that, but I actually think it's a bat that really is necessary for the way this lineup is constructed.
Yeah, and I think, I think as we go along here, I'm sure at the beginning of the season, they'll keep him down, you know, in the minors, or not in the minors. They'll keep him down, like in the
Freudian slip. You distracted there for a second.
Yeah,
I know that.
No, but like, I think they'll keep him probably down, maybe 6-7-ish in the lineup. Mm-hmm. But I just have this feeling that as the season goes along, I think he's going to continue to work his way up towards the top of it. And I think he's going to be a real difference maker. And I keep trying to think of like what the lineup's going to look like when Harper's back. And like selfishly, I want Harper batting too. Because it would go Turner, Harper, and then whoever you want to put in 3.
And then Schwarber 4, it's like, let's go.
Like, I just think that makes sense.
Yeah.
But like they don't seem very, keen on the idea of doing that.
I think Schwarber's going to be the two hitter. And unless it doesn't like work out, like, I think it's going to be Turner Schwarber.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be Turner Schwarber, but until Harper's back. Because, right. Maybe when Harper's back, you know, they do put him there. Because, like, I know lineup construction wise, batting him 4. Makes sense in a way. I just hate the idea that Harper's not going to bat in the first inning.
Yeah, he has to bat 2 or 3 for me. He has to.
And I don't want to go lefty back to back, so I don't want to go Turner, Schwarber, Harper. So maybe they can go, you know, like Turner, JT, someone else in the 2-hole, and then Harper 3. Like that could work.
Bohm down the road. Is that where you're going with this? Because I think Bohm in the 2-hole could absolutely work.
Well, and if we're looking for the correct mix of put the bat on the ball, not strike out, with the ability to drive the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, Bohm in the 2-hole could eventually work. I was actually thinking
Bohm in the 3-hole. So you're thinking go Turner, Harper, Bohm, Schwarbs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then because the fifth guy is going to be Reese or Cassiano's or whoever it is in that moment. Then you got a righty there. And then
right, JT.
So many hitters.
Oh,
we
dude.
Got so many hitters, dude. This is unbelievable.
Well, and I was thinking about this last night, actually. So I've done this thing when watching Trey Turner where I keep forgetting he's a Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And he hits the ball at the ballpark in the game Saturday night. And it was like, dude, that's our guy for the next 11 years. But when I keep looking at the lineup and I look at the roster top to bottom and I look at the rotation, bullpen, like what they have assembled on paper is what I believe is the best Phillies roster I've ever seen. Wow. Like I know 11 had the 3 aces, but like it was Stutz, Bastardo, Madsen, you know, like in the background of the bullpen. You had a lineup at that point that was kind of starting to taper off. I mean, they weren't as lethal as they were in 07 to 10.
Ryan Howard, it was the last year of Ryan Howard's career, essentially, you know?
Last year of Pete Howard. You know, so you look at the bullpen, the bullpen's way better. The lineup, I think, is comparable, if not better. And
with
I think
Harper there, I think you could argue it's better. I do. I know. It's crazy. But we just mentioned, I mean, like, you're getting to, like, the eight hitter before you're not, you're getting to, like, a guy who isn't an all-star or Boehm. You know, this is nuts. I mean, just you run off the guys. I mean, Turner, Schwarber, Harper, Romuto, Hoskins, you know, Castellanos, we'll see, but if he can bounce back, like all six of those guys are like all-star caliber players or all-star caliber bats, you know, and then you got Boehm, you got, I mean, it's so deep and so good, Jack.
I know. And you know, when you say something like Castellanos batting eighth is like some big, you know, slap in the face in a way, like, sure. But at the same time, like, it's sort of where it all makes sense. Like, if you rounded the lineup with Stott, Castellanos, Marsh, and then back to Turner, that's probably the best lineup from day one. Like, Hall will make his way up there because he probably went a lefty a little bit earlier. Reese will be up there. But, like, the fact that realistically they could have Castellanos bat eight or whatnot as a 309, 34 home run guy before the year before last, you know, is just insane. And in the Heyman article the other day where he talked about, you know, there's people around baseball that think Harper's going to be back in May. And it was another like longtime scout that said when he's back, like that lineup is just insane. I mean, we had earlier in the offseason, someone said that compared it to the 90s Cleveland Indians teams, which it's such a big comp.
That's like, massive comp. I mean,
it's all big comps, but you know, like hopefully it all works out. But man, it's hard not to have that feeling when you just look at these guys on paper and you look at the back of the baseball card and you look what they've done before and you look at how they can get better. Like Marsh could get better, Stock could get better.
Marsh will. Yeah, I think those guys will get better.
They
will.
You know, and the one thing that is going to be interesting for me is, like, let's say Castellanos gets off to a cold start. Like, I think batting him in the eighth hole, like, from day one would be a mistake just because he seems like a confidence guy.
And you gotta put him higher to start. You just have to. I agree with you.
Just let him bat four and hope that he can. He's started to turn around a little bit in spring training. I'll say that. But, you know, I think this whole idea of, like, let's start Castellanos in the eighth hole, I think that would do more harm than good.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think Topper will do that. I think we saw through the playoffs last year. Look, I mean, everyone on the planet was saying back Castellanos eight or ninth, and he still didn't do it in the playoffs even last season. So I think coming in this season with the pedigree and the resume, I think he'll absolutely be more towards the top of the lineup. But, you know, I mean, again, it's thrilling. It's thrilling to think about this lineup and turning it over and no weak spots. And, you know, when you're talking about, you know, Stott, Castellanos, and Marsh potentially as the very bottom of your order. I mean, and the way these guys complement each other. I mean, you have, you know, pure hitters, you've got power hitters, you've got speed. It just, this lineup gives you everything you could look for in a lineup, you know? And I think that's incredibly important the way the team is constructed. And then, oh, by the way, you know, what we keep talking about, it's something Boehm talked about again today, but all these dudes love each other and all these dudes like playing with each other and they're going to fuel off each other. They're going to feed off each other and they're going to be fans in the stands that they're feeding off of. I think that the potential for this team, Jack, is obviously it's winning the World Series, but like, I do think it's really, really high for this group of guys. And look, I thought, you know, we had John Middleton on the show today, which is something I've literally never been able to say before in my life. That's pretty neat. We had John Middleton on the show today. And, you know, I know he had said a similar quote. I can't remember what article it was, but, you know, it made the rounds, Athletic or something like that. It was in an article, a few months ago. But he said it on the show again, and it was, you know, talking about his goals for the team. And he had two lines that stuck out. The first one was, you know, when I talk to this team, if I say I want you to win a World Series, he's like, that's not good enough. He's like, this team should win multiple World Series. And he said, when I look back, when you look back at the history of baseball, when you talk about the great teams in the history of the sport, he's like, I want this Phillies team to be on that. Like, that is such a grandiose and lofty thing to say and a goal to have. And again, they have to go out and prove it and stuff. But like, the pieces are there. The pieces are there for this team to do what the Astros just did, to win two World Series in a 5-year span or whatever. Like, they obviously, again, win one, you know, win one. And we would have said the same thing about 08 and they had the chance and all that. But like, but it is really exciting to look at this group of what's here now, the next few years with these guys, pretty much everyone under contract already. Like, the sky is the limit with this group.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I feel like I sound a bit like a broken record, but, you know, I've kind of had that feeling all offseason where it's just like, look at how they are now. Look at how Middleton is spending money on big stars and how, like, underneath the surface, they are just continuing to build this thing. You know, people freak out about, well, the starting pitching depth or the bullpen,
the bench
depth.
Spots or the this or the that. Yeah.
It's like, well, there's more coming. Like, you know, when people talk about, is Ranger going to make the, well, Ranger's going to be in the rotation to start the season.
Yeah.
But, you know, Painter down, and then it's like Falter, whatever. And like, if these guys get hurt, like, who's to say that Griff doesn't just get hot and he everything starts clicking for him, that he can come in there and that raises the level of your team. Mick Abel looked good the other day against the Braves, and I feel almost bad for Mick because it's like he just gets left behind with Andrew Painter turning into like a superstar prospect. But like, Mick Abel is a top 40 prospect in baseball right now. Yeah. Who reached Double A at 21 years old. But he has to work. He's not as like flawless as Andrew Painter. He has to work on fastball command. But like, I mean,
he's still a great. It's a great point by you, Jack. Like, we almost have like just kind of forgotten about Mick Abel because of, and rightfully so, the level of greatness as a prospect that Painter has reached and kind of surpassed him. But you're right, man. Like, we don't talk nearly enough. I mean, Mick Abel could be a one or a two in the major leagues. Like, that's a ceiling. Like, he's that talented, you know, not like a 1-1, not like a, you never know, but like, he's like, he could be a two in the major leagues. Like, the guy's legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. So, you know, when we talk about Dodgers East and we talk about turning into one of these super, like, I think they're on the verge of being, well, I know, but
this is what are we doing here? This is the High Hopes podcast. We're supposed to be talking about the 2026 Phils and get me some pitchers so we can talk about the minors. We're talking about, like, let's go on a dynastic run, Jack.
But that's where the franchise is right now. I mean, for the next 5 years, I mean, we talked about this, I think, maybe three pods ago, but like, everyone on the team is like, at least in the lineup, is locked up through 2025. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you look at the core of this team is pretty much set. So you have the core pretty much set on offense. You have, we'll see what happens. Like, it could be extension week for Aaron Nola. So you have your 1 and 2 locked up for the next couple of years. Wheeler, we'll see what happens with him. Like, it's so hard not to start dreaming on what they can be. And think about them as one of the future, you know, superpower-ish teams in the sport. I mean, there's only a handful of them, but they have everything there to where they can get the job done. And I don't think Middleton's like speaking out of turn to say like only winning one is obviously a big thing.
Yeah, let's win the freaking World Series. Okay, we've won one in our lifetimes. Okay, like, yes, it is a big deal, but. But I get your point. Like, I don't think it's when he said it, I wasn't like, whoa, what the hell? Like, I was like, yeah, like, you're right. And again, the thing that you know, you could look at this team, but then, yeah, there's other great teams and Steve Cohen's up there spending money and the Braves are good. And there's all this stuff. But you look at this group of guys and especially what they achieved last year and the mentality and the two more games thing. Bohm brought that up too. Like, just that there, it really does feel like this group is locked in on a goal. And clearly that goal is to win the World Series. And then you worry about past that. But as the owner, especially talking about his goals for the franchise, like, absolutely he's not speaking out of turn. I mean, he has set some very lofty expectations, you know, great teams of all time. But he's not. But the point is, like, the pieces are there. the infrastructure for the first time in you know over a decade is there from a baseball operations perspective. Like we always talk about, the infrastructure is there, and the guy making that statement is willing to open up his checkbook and keep adding, and willing to keep going over taxes and keep spending money to do what it takes to win. So, yeah, like if they keep this formula and this group, like they should have a lot of success with these guys, you know?
Yeah. And
so weird, like high hopes is like, I what I think about with this now is like, you know, the new listeners, whatever. And if you are a new listener who came on during the run, like, thank you. We love
welcome,
you.
Man.
Welcome aboard. But like, you know, the old school listeners will know, like there is, as much as, you know, it's thrilling and exciting. Like there is a bit of a, I keep pinching myself when we do these pods being like, this doesn't feel like we've never done this before a season. These have never been the high hopes preseason pods we've been doing before. You know, there's been hype and excitement, but it's never been like, yeah, this team could go out and win a few World Series over the next couple of years. Like, this is crazy, Jack. Like, step back and look at this and be like, you know, I'm feeling the feels. I'm in Clearwater, all that. Like, I'm really grateful. Like, I'm so grateful that we're here right now, man. I feel like we were Andy Dufresne slogging through, you know what, for years with this podcast, just digging through, and we have come out the other side, and we are raising our arms in the air, and it feels amazing.
Well, it's funny because it feels like one of those. We almost got to calm down. You know what I mean? Like,
too far.
In the old high hopes ways, it was like people told us to calm down because it'd be like, listen, this team could win 90 games.
Yeah.
You know, and like, this guy could break out. This guy could turn into this. And then he's going to, you know, fulfill all of our expectations for, you know, we're always looking at the highest possible outcome for whatever player, for whatever team, whatever manager, whatever GM, whatever. Like, that's been the thing about this podcast. And you talk about maybe not able to handle the moment. Might be us. Like maybe we can't handle the moment.
Watch them start like 10-15, and we're like, just we'll be right back to where we
get them all out. That is going to be the funny part about the season, is that, you know, it's going to be way less like living and dying with every single game. Like, I will watch every second. I will care as much as I usually
You'll be
do.
In
but
this
like
feed pretty much after every game, for what it's worth. There are a lot of them, you know, regular season games. I mean, weekday games and all that. So.
Yeah, but it's like there's like, now that we got through, we broke through. There's not that same like, oh my god, are they gonna miss the playoffs again? Like, oh my god, like this is all a disaster, because like for the first time since again the heyday, it's like I trust them. Like I trust the manager, I trust the players, I trust the GM, and I trust the owner. So you talk about coming a long way.
Wow.
You know, I used to try to find ways.
About those names, like Topper, we never didn't trust, but like we didn't think he would ever be the manager of a baseball team. The dude was going to retire after last season, and now he's, you know, extension, all that. But like, for the statements you just made with Jack Middleton and Dave Dombrowski, you know, we've come a long way, Jack. We've come a long way, buddy.
Yeah. And I think about how a majority of the last couple of years, like they would be in first place or they'd be like over 500 and like there'd be 20,000 people in the stadium, you know? And now, like, I just think they're going to get rewarded for the fruits of what they just went through. So, it's going to be a different watching experience, you know, where it's not, wow, this whole thing's crumbling and it's falling apart. It's a disaster. It's going to be more like, this is what we do now. This is just what we do. Like, we'll maybe start a little slow. Maybe we won't win the division, but don't let us make the playoffs. Like, yeah, just don't let the Phillies make the playoffs. Like, entering into a cocky era of Phillies baseball is not something that I didn't know I'd be able to feel again. But that's kind of where we're heading into, a cocky era of Phillies baseball.
And yet again, like Andy Dufresne, this podcast has freaking earned that. All right. You know, we have earned the chance to be a little cocky about this team. And it's you're absolutely right. It is weird having those expectations shift, especially, you know, like we've talked about so many times, but how, you know, in September, I don't know, I'll pick a date, like September 25th, September 27th, like none of us felt this way. None of us felt this way about this team come October 3rd or whatever day it was they clinched in Houston, October 2nd, whatever that was. Like, it's just ever since that moment, like everything about how we feel about the Phillies has changed in such a profound and powerful and awesome way. And it all feels justified. And to your point, look, I don't think there's, at least in my lifetime, you could maybe say 08 after 07, but like it was a different thing then. I think this might be the most important from a not making the playoffs or whatever perspective, because I'm with you. I think they could start slow and figure it out. They're going to be good. But from a business of baseball perspective, like a hot start, that place is full all year. The place is full. But I'm serious, right? But if they start slow, it might take them a little time for people. There'll be full games. There'll be some more people. But like if they start hot, if they come out 20-10 or 20-8 or whatever, and they're like rolling, like we could get back to those days, the salad days, the, hey, I got a ticket to a game night. You want to go? Yes. Let me drop everything I have going on in my life because I have to be at that game. Like we're on the verge of that again, man. And that was the freaking best.
Yeah. And I thought about this a lot. I thought about, so they come back from Texas and then they go to New York. And just like game one at Citizens Bank Park, you know, when for the first time we get to welcome the National League champions back on the field and say, like, because, you know, they went down to Houston and we never really had the chance to say thank you. You know what it's I mean? And
Last moment was marred by Chaz freaking McCormick. You know? It's like we were all in shock and we're all stunned. You're right, dude. Like we were angry, you know?
So when they take the field and Dan Baker does this and they do the introductions, and then you couple all of that with Turner, you know, making his Phillies
debut.
What
an ovation, like, he's gonna get because Bryce isn't there too, so it's just like all the energy is gonna go into that Turner. Like that first at bat is gonna that place is gonna be insane.
I know. So I know. Calm down.
I'm
struggling, dude. I know. It's hard for you. And that's why Walker, it's time to go.
Walker, let's go, pal.
Let's get this thing rolling.
So, we should quickly just officially address that because, I didn't know that the name was out there for a while. So we were kind of saying baby boy Fritz and all that type of stuff, but apparently it's out there. If you don't listen to the afternoon show, apparently just got out. Walker, we got Walker coming, man.
Well, it's going to be so surreal watching Taiwan Walker and like seeing Walker 99. Yes, it's going to be
really
weird.
That's a good point. Well, it is funny. You notice that type of stuff. Like the name pops, like Zoe. Whenever I see Zoe anywhere, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like a totally different thing.
I was watching the Michigan State game yesterday and their point guard's last name was Walker. And I was like, Walker to the den.
I was like,
what is going on? So the name's out there. It is kind of funny being, you know, a washed pitcher.
It's hilarious. You name your kid Walker. You want to like it's freaking hilarious. It's like almost you all knowing you, and I know it wasn't, but knowing you, you're like, is this a bit? Is his actual naming of his kid an actual bit? But no, it's not.
Well,
it's great. You life's know, a stranger, of course. Yeah. Life's a bit. We know. I mean, you're basically having the kid just for the bit sake. So
exactly. You know. Well, my concept was slowing down.
It's soon. It's like the how people have the baby to save a marriage. You're the baby to save the career. Yeah,
save the content. Yep.
Yeah, it's great.
Listen, our due date is supposed to be in 3 days. So
I know. So,
well, unless we got opening day in 9 days. Like, you know, let's speed this up. Especially at least let me make the home opener. Like, all I want to do is make the home opener.
Yeah, I'm with you, buddy. We want you. We need you at the home opener. So, but I will say, watching it with Walker, like, all you want to do is not be in labor for the home opener. That would be a disaster. But, like, if he's out, you could watch it that you've, you know, holding your boy, watching the opener, you know, that there's something to that, you know?
So I agree.
It'd be better if it were a Texas game. Like, come sooner and we could do that while they're on the road. I get it. But, like, it could be worse in that case.
Well, yeah. But I will say,
but I'd rather go to the home opener.
Still a bit of a me guy.
I know. Yeah,
like, listen, he'll experience his little, when the Phillies are coming off their like third straight World Series or whatever, then he could be there. But like, you know, let me soak this in, you know, more about me is what parenthood is usually about.
Oh yes. That is, let me tell you, buddy. It's all about you. It's all and not giving up anything.
What I've heard.
of yourself or your what you want to do or, you know, none of that. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. I'm happy you're heading in with the right expectations for what this is going to be.
That's good.
I'm so excited, dude. You're going to be such a great dad. It's going to be awesome.
Well,
I really think you're going to be. I think you're going to be. I know we'll see. The last, 5 minutes of conversation shouldn't let anyone, down that path, but you're going to be great, buddy. It's going to be awesome.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, buddy.
All right. So I have to go in a few minutes because I get to go watch the Phillies play game.
It's not rubbed in.
How about it? You were just here. But quickly, because I saw a bunch of people, and in true High Hopes fashion, I feel like this is the perfect kind of last Phillies thing to get into before a quick take bag, because again, got to go. But just quickly, because I've seen a bunch of people talk about it in the chat, and thank you to everyone showing up. A lot of awesome people. I see Scott. I see Buddy Rodecott. I see a bunch of great people. Our buddy Dave, UK Phillies TV in there. Quickly, the one real Phillies topic outside the macro stuff, the 5-man bench. Who's making it, buddy? Look, I think obviously we all know that Stubbs is on the roster, that Sosa's on the roster. Those are locks. I think Derek Hall at this point looks like a lock. I think Jake Cave, the way he's banked 500 or something. I think he's a lock. I think that last spot comes down to Harrison, Kingery, maybe Clemens. I don't think Clemens gets it. I think it's going to be Harrison. Or Guthrie. What do you think? Where are you going with this last spot?
So I'm not going Scott Kingery. I'm sorry. I know it's intoxicating. I know people are like, oh, Scotty
Jetpacks. Everyone wants it. Dude, we got 3 calls about it. Everyone wants it. It's
why it's can't, wild. Why are people so Kingery'd up? I guess because people just haven't given up on
the idea.
It's
hard to let go. You should know about this. Are you kidding me, Mr. Hang on to a take? I think it's a take thing, People don't want to be wrong.
Dustin Pedroia with more talent. People are still holding on to that one. For me, it just doesn't make sense. Go down to AAA and hit for a little bit before it's we got to get Scotty Jetpacks back on the roster. I'm not moving off Josh Harrison at this point. He's a veteran. He's been around. He's a good clubhouse guy. This is the second time they brought him in. The first time they cut him, which I don't think he was expecting. They gave him $2 million. I'm going to give Josh Harrison not every shot. He's not going to play every day, but I'm going to give Josh Harrison a shot before I'm like, no, I'm not, my evaluation is wrong. So I'm going, I'm going Harrison, Sosa, Cave, Hall, Stubbs. That's my.
It's absolutely locked in for me as well. Now, Dalton Guthrie, it turned out that I didn't know this, but he's Jewish. So I'm fully on Team Dalton Guthrie now. So if he makes the roster, I'll be very happy about it. I had no idea. Dalton Guthrie's Jewish.
He's a gamer.
That coming. Dalton Guthrie, that is about as not Jewish a name as you will often hear, but happy to have him on board. But I'm right there with you. Look, we made this mistake with Josh Harrison once, right? We made the mistake. We brought him in. We were money, whatever. Let's give him. He was a valuable player for another. In his role, a valuable player for Washington. He made a difference there. Just keep Josh Harrison here. The dude's proven that he can handle this role. He can play all over the diamond for you. I think he just gives you more versatility. And again, that kind of veteran presence off the bench. I'm all about it.
Yeah. So here's my final, not my final. This is my roster projection as of today. Real Muto, Hoskins, Stott, Turner, Bohm, Schwarber, Marsh, Cast, Wheeler, Nola, Ranger.
You're going full 26. This is great. Yeah. Good job.
I did this in the first.
I appreciate you, buddy. It's good.
Right off the top of my head, too. So obviously, yeah. Harper's going to miss time. He's going to be on the IL. So I'm factoring that in. Painter should be on the IL, I would think. Anyway, so.
He'll do minor league starts to ramp back up anyway, right? Sure. Yeah.
So, Real Muto, Hoskins, Stott, Turner, Bohm, Schwarber, Marsh, Cast, Wheeler, Nola, Ranger, Walker, Falter, Harrison, Sosa, Cave, Hall, Stubbs, and then bullpen of Alvarado, Soto, Sir Anthony, Kimbrel, Strom, Brogdon, Junior Marte.
Wow, you're doing it.
I might get a Junior Marte jersey. I'm sorry. I might. He's my favorite film.
So for the listeners who might not be up on every single one of those last guys, the Junior Marte slot, who else could it be? If it's not Junior Marte, is it Drew Baker? Is it who are the guys who you think are in for that spot?
It's Bilotti.
Of course, yes.
It's Nick Nelson. It's
Nick Nelson's still dealing with the hamstring thing, right? So that'll probably hinder
That's
him,
a big loss. I might affect my my win.
Everyone was really bummed when that happened. Yes. How does Bilotti not make the roster though? I mean, that dude was that pitched big innings for you and was good. Because I know, look, these guys are gonna cycle up and down. It's all about options and all that stuff, but I don't know. I'd be surprised if Bilotti doesn't make the roster.
Too good. How about that? That's my answer. Too like good.
It. I'm a big fan of J's as ya sounds in general.
Junior Marte.
Like if people want to call me Yames, I'm totally fine with that. I think it sounds great.
But Jimmy's where you draw the line, right?
Yimmy. You can call me Yimmy. No, Jimmy's okay. Jamie is where I draw the line. Shut it down. I just am not a Jamie. I've never been a Jamie. Can't do it. When I actually get mad. Like people can call me Jamie. Yeah, I get mad when people call me.
All right.
How many high hopes people are gonna come up to a game? Be like, hey Jamie. I'm like, God darn it! Why did I say that? Okay. Yes.
Listen, Jamie, you can go to the game soon.
Thanks, buddy. I have to. Yeah, I got Richie and DeCamera waiting on me. Yo and Jan, or you might say.
Yep. Jan Janssen. Yeah, but yeah, that's just they're too good. I don't know what to tell you.
What a pod we just did there.
What's the point of even? There's no point even talking about it until opening day because they're just like, hey, everything's fine.
Everything's great. It is wild, I will say. And again, I feel it. And you're right there with me. It is like we're going into a season where like, and he might come back soon earlier and all that stuff. But like Bryce Harper is theoretically out for half the season. And we're more excited. Like we're like, they're fine. They're gonna do great. It's just like wild. The MVP of the league 2 years ago is out for half the season. It's like literally no big deal. It's not a big deal.
It's not. I know. A big deal.
I'm saying it's literally no big. It's crazy. All right, you got anything else in the take bag?
I think it's interesting. They're stretching Matt Strom out. So that came out the other day.
Obviously, so, a starter prior.
So with him being stretched out. Obviously, yeah, he's been a kind of a bad starter before, but
yeah, well, he only became good when they started relief pitching. Yes, exactly.
It seems like this is a this is going to be a piggyback with him and Ranger, I think, to begin the season.
Which makes sense.
Will start, give like three innings, and then Strom can get you through 4, 5, 6, and then you know hand over the bullpen in an ideal world. So I don't think it means Matt Strom's going to be in the rotation, but I do think it means like a Ranger him piggyback. You know, maybe Falter is same kind of thing. But if Nick Nelson's not going to make the roster, then you need someone who is
able
to
be a long man. Yeah, no doubt.
To be a long man. So they didn't sign him to be a long man. Like they gave Matt Strom real money.
To be a reliever, to be a situational lefty, essentially. Yes.
But they did trade for Soto, which wasn't also a plan.
Strom has done it before. And also a lot of those numbers with the starts, it's, you know, the second, third time through the lineup. If you're hoping he can kind of get one clean time through the lineup, like that's not that much to ask of someone who's done stuff like that before.
Yep. I thought Bailey Falter looked really good in his last start. I continue to believe in him. Like I know people like are scarred by the NLCS.
It didn't even get through an inning, and we all and again also had not pitched in like a month or whatever it felt like, you know, a few weeks before that. We all loved him going in. We were talking about him being one of like the three or four pitchers on the team we trusted the most. Jack, keep pounding this drum, buddy.
Saved the season last year. But I thought what he did the other day, you know, I think when he first came up, fell in love with his fastball too much and major league hitters are eventually going to figure it out. I thought he did a good job on Sunday. And I think going forward of mixing in the slider curveball and we'll see what the changeup happens. So I just think he's going to be harder to hit and it should be NOLA contract week. I don't think they want to head into the season with this whole extension thing looming over his head. I think they want to get it done. So hopefully it's NOLA contract week.
Yeah, look, and if you do want to re-sign him, I'm saying from the Phillies' perspective, which, you know, of course they should want to, especially with how durable and how consistent he's been over his career. But if you want to, it is imperative. Might be a little too strong a word, but it is important to do it before free agency. Because the market, like he will get more money in the market than he will here, flat out.
Yes. So, and Trey Turner is a Phil.
And an American hero, Jack. You know that's what Trey Turner is.
I know you weren't watching live, but that Venezuela USA game was one of the 10
yeah.
Best
so I watched the last. Wait, the what?
One of the 10 best baseball games I've seen.
Wow. I watched the last. So when you texted me, you were like, you have to turn it on. I did. And the last inning half was super compelling. And like the, you know, obviously the vibe and the thing I'll say, and again, it's mostly been the fact that I've been going to bed at 7 o'clock every night that has kept me from watching more than anything, my new schedule. But I will say, like, the, and I watched a little bit of the last night game when I came back to the hotel after we went out to get some food and stuff. Like, the energy is real. Like, it is real. And the players truly care. So when they're caring, like, it's hard not to care when you're watching it. I'll give you that.
And Edwin Diaz got hurt, which,
you know,
which stinks.
It stinks. It does, but, you know.
Helps the Phils. Helps the Phils.
Oh, buddy.
It stinks. It stinks.
No, it's bad for baseball, and it's a shame, especially to the point of, like, if people are starting it in the WBC like you are and baseball fans are, like, it's, you know, those injuries and stuff like that are the kind of thing that people are going to bring up and be like, don't send your players, don't do this. And it just creates instead of what's seemed like a fully positive, exciting response to WBC this year, it's like one of those things where people will point to and have a negative response. And that's a shame.
And Altuve got hurt, but that was also on a fastball up and in. So, you know, that could happen.
And again, like, yeah, they all could, right? I mean, Gavin Lux, right? I mean, we'll talk about the Gavin Lux tore his ACL in a spring training game. Like, it happens, you know?
Yep.
All right. So, you got any, it's been final, fun. You got any final thoughts, Fritzy?
My final thought is there will be shirts. There will be shirts.
Yes! There will be shirts! Maybe a little freshened up, we'll say.
There will be shirts.
That's a perfect final thought. I got nothing else to add other than
enjoy the ball game, buddy.
Please play baseball, baby. Yes,
enjoy the ball game.
So if you are actually in Clearwater watching, come say hi. Otherwise, we'll be back next week or later this week or whenever it is. So obviously Nola contract could influence that all as well. So you go do your job, I'll go watch some baseball. I think I'm winning this one.
Seems like a fair trade.
Yeah, it'll be good. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We love you guys. Everyone who tuned in for the chat, we have just a blast, and it means a lot. And we'll be back soon. Until then, let's go Seltzer.